Hello, and welcome to Restoration. This is the first of 26 lessons from the Celebrate Recovery Leader's Guide. This podcast features Vicki Dimmitt teaching on denial.
Tonight, we are going to do lesson one, and it's denial. With each lesson, there is a step, a correlating scripture to that step, a principle, and there are 8 recovery principles, and we love our acrostics at Saddleback and at Fellowship, so it covers the acrostic word recovery, the eight principles do. And then it'll be followed with a beatitude, and all the beatitudes are from Matthew chapter 5. So step one, we admitted we were powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors, that our lives had become unmanageable. The scripture that goes with that is Romans 7:18. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. I'm going to encourage you guys, these lessons are so rich with scriptures that are so key to step one and to denial, that if you got a pen, jot some of this stuff down. I don't have PowerPoints tonight, so some of these scriptures are just really powerful. The principle that goes with that is realize I'm not God. I admit that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. And the beatitude that goes with that is happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. I think that's one of my favorite beatitudes because it tells me that I can't find happiness, joy, contentment, peace, until I know I'm spiritually poor, until I know I'm spiritually bankrupt, and I can no longer withdraw off my own understanding and my own experiences. When I get to that place, I can find peace because God can step in. Otherwise, I'm in the way. Okay, so tonight we begin a journey together, a journey down the road of recovery, and it begins with principle one, where we admit that we are powerless to control our tendency to do the wrong thing. And I love those words. We all have a tendency to do the wrong thing. I don't care if you've been in this recovery program for 28 years. I've been in here for 17 years, and I have overcome struggles with alcohol, cocaine, sex, codependency. I still have a tendency to do the wrong thing. I'm not perfect. And that my life did become unmanageable. But before we begin this exciting journey together, we need to ask ourselves 2 questions. One is, am I going to let my past failures prevent me from taking this journey? So are you going to allow your past failures to stop you from moving forward in God's plan for your life? The second question is, am I afraid to change? Or what are my fears of the future? If you don't have a lot of past failures or mistakes, and there was a lot of pain done to you, you may have just your life filled with fear of the future, of the unknown and what's going to happen. So, we're going to first talk about failures from the past, and the first scripture is Hebrews 12:1. Since we have such a huge crowd of men of faith watching us from the grandstands, let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up, and let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. There's 2 things I want to point out to you in this scripture. The first thing is God has a particular race set out for you. It's unique only to you. Nobody else has it. It's only specifically designed for you. And the second thing I want to point out is that the stripping off anything that slows us down, we need to remove some baggage. And we need to strip off especially those sins that have a hold on us and weigh us down. So, you ready to do some stripping? Strip off those past habits, those past hurts, and those past hang-ups? Well, many of us, what happens is we get stuck in bitterness over what someone has done to us. And we continue to hold on to the hurt, and we refuse to forgive the ones who had hurt us. And I want to tell you that bitterness and resentment is the number one offender for anybody in recovery. If you hold on to any bitterness or any resentments in your life, your recovery will stumble. It will keep you stuck. So that it's important to let go of that baggage. Well, we've all been hurt. and you may have been hurt very deeply. And perhaps you were abused as a child, or maybe you were in a marriage where your spouse committed adultery. Those are painful things to overcome. And if you are a breathing, living human being, you've experienced pain. And you will continue to experience pain as long as you breathe. But that pain does not have to consume you or identify you. And we can be free from that pain and free from that area of our lives that we gave over to that bitterness and to that anger. Well, pain is real in our lives. It's inevitable, but suffering is optional. Working this Christ-centered recovery program will, with God's power, allow you to find the courage and strength to accept the past, forgive, and move on. But I've got good news. You don't have to forgive tonight. You don't have to do this tonight. The steps are in order for a reason. And actually, forgiveness and that kind of healing, it is in steps 8 and 9. So a lot of people jump into recovery, and man, we are so sorry about everything, and we just want to apologize all over everybody in our lives. And that's not really the right time. And we really don't understand what an amends really is in steps 8 and 9, and that's why they're in order. As you travel down your road to recovery, God will help you find the willingness to forgive them and be free of their hold on your life. Some of you are bound by guilt. You keep beating yourself up over the same past failure. You're trapped and you're stuck. And you think that no one could ever forgive you for the terrible things that you've done. Well, you're wrong. God can. And that's why Jesus went to the cross for our sins. He knows everything you've ever done and everything you've ever experienced. And he also knows everything you're still going to do. He already knows it all, and he's already gone to the cross for you. When I got into recovery early on, and I became a Christian 6 months into my recovery, the first Bible study I went to, we did the book of Romans. Well, the first 7 chapters of the book of Romans are pretty harsh. It really identifies sin, and it really identifies what God thinks about sin. But keep reading. The rest, eight on, is really wonderful. Well, I kept highlighting, going, oh, my God, I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. I'm doomed. I mean, I am really doomed. And my Bible study teacher told me I needed to go back and highlight all of God's promises in the book of Romans, because I just kept thinking that I'm never going to get, there's no way I can be forgiven. I've done too much. She said something to me so profound that I still use this today in other people's lives, too. She asked me if I thought God forgave me and went to the cross for my sins. And I said, yes. And she asked me, didn't he die hard enough the first time? He only had to go there once for me and only once for my sins. So it's something I remind myself. I'm forgiven and I have a Savior, and he went to the cross for me. So the Apostle Paul had a lot to regret about his past. I mean, he participated in Stephen's murder. In Philippians 3:13, Paul says, "No, dear brothers, I am still not all I should be, but I am bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead." None of us is where we want to be, and none of us is probably where we should be. I know that I'm not the person probably God wants me to be yet, and I'm probably not the person that others think I should be. But I am damn glad I'm not the person I used to be. I'm no longer that person. Amen. It's him. If I hold on to my past pain or deny that it exists, then I will remain stuck in the past, and I will struggle to move forward. So here's the bottom line. If you want to be free from your past hurts, hang-ups, and habits, you need to deal with your bitterness and guilt once and for all. And you need to do what Isaiah 43:18 tells us. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Okay, that doesn't mean ignore it. You need to learn from your past. Offer forgiveness. Make amends. And like I said, that comes further down the road in recovery. And then release it. And only then can you be free from your guilt and grudges and the grief. I have not forgotten the past. In fact, I can't do anything to go back and change the past. God can't even go back and change what I've done, but I can be free from it. I do not have to be connected to the things I've done in the past. Okay, now fears for the future. If we've got a few worry warts in here, you're going to be interested in knowing about your concern and anxiety. We always call it concern. I'm so concerned. And it's really worry and anxiety and a lack of trust in God. So the truth is we can say without any doubt or fear, the Lord is my helper, and I'm not afraid of anything that mere man can do to me. It takes time to get to that place. That's from Hebrews 13:6. You may have been hurt in your habit hang up for so long that it's become your identity. And you may be thinking, what will happen if I really give recovery a chance? Will I change? If I give up my old hurts, hang ups, and habits, what will I become? Who will I be? I connected to this part so closely that in my recovery and my marriage, and we were separated, my husband and I were separated for a year, and as we started going through counseling, I had a little bit of control issues, just a little. And I did not want to let go of those control. And he was stepping up the plate and taking his responsibility as the godly man in our marriage and in our family. And I didn't want to let go of that control. And the reason I didn't was I didn't know who I was without it. I was so used to it. It was so ingrained in me. I did not know how to allow him to lead me. I was the leader in the dance. And that was probably the scariest time in recovery for me. It wasn't scary laying down alcohol and drugs. It was scary laying down control. Very scary. So you may have been abusing alcohol, prescription drugs, or food, and you're afraid of what you'll do without your substance of choice. Maybe you've been enabling someone in a dysfunctional relationship for years, and perhaps you're wondering, what if I change and my alcoholic husband gets mad at me? Or even reverse that. What if your alcoholic spouse changes and you're struggling to adapt to that change? Both of those are fear of the future, fear of what's going to happen down the road. Even if our past was extremely painful, and even if we want that freedom so badly, we may still resist change and the freedom that can be found in really working this program because of our fears or because of the fear of the unknown. And because of our despair, we just close our minds because we think that we don't deserve any better. Or sometimes we think this is just how it is. It's never going to change. And that's a lie. As you work the steps, remember 1 John 4:18, where God's love is, there is no fear, because God's perfect love drives out understanding. Is that what it says? God's perfect love drives out fear. But see, our problem is we want God's love to drive out our understanding because we want to understand why this is going on. Why does this keep happening to me? Why do I keep going around this same mountain? Why won't I stop? We want understanding. God's love will drive out fear. It won't drive out our understanding. And we want to know why. You are not here by mistake tonight. This room is full of changed lives, and it's my prayer for each of you that you will not let your past failures or your fear of the future stop you from giving Celebrate Recovery a real try. But are you hiding? It looks real pretty, doesn't it? Are you hiding? Are you trying to pretend to be somebody else? And it's behind a bunch of smiles, a bunch of glitter, or maybe it's behind an angry face. Maybe it's behind something that's really angry. Are you wearing a mask of denial tonight? And before you can make any progress in recovery, you need to face your denial. As soon as you remove your mask of denial and you allow this to be transparent, your recovery can begin. But as long as you keep this up here, it looks real good. You'll hide behind this. And it's easy to hide behind pain and behind anger because there's a lot of pissed off people in here. And it's easy to hide behind that. You can get very angry. It doesn't matter if you're new in recovery or you've been in recovery for years or you've come back to it recently, denial can rear its ugly head anytime in anybody's life. It holds no regard for how many days you have in recovery. And you may trade addictions or you may get into other relationships that are sick and unhealthy. No one is immune to denial. And it says in here, denial isn't just a river in Egypt. That's such an old saying, isn't it? Okay, so denial's not a river in Egypt, so what is it? By definition, what is denial? Denial has been defined as a false system of beliefs that are not based on reality and a self-protecting behavior that keeps us from honestly facing the truth. Well, as kids, we all learn various coping skills. They came in handy when we didn't get the attention we wanted from our parents and others or to block our pain and our fears. For a time, these coping systems worked, but as the years progressed, they confused and clouded our view of the truth of our lives. I had many coping skills as a child, a lot, and they worked, but they sure didn't work as an adult. I tried. Temper tantrums just don't work as an adult. It's not pretty, but I'll be in the grocery store and I'll see a 2-year-old throwing a fit going, man, I want to do that so bad. Gosh, I want to throw myself on the ground. Can't do it. So as we grew, our perception of ourselves and our expectations of all those around us also grew. But because we retained our childish methods of coping, our perceptions of reality became increasingly more unrealistic and distorted, and they remain immature. Our coping skills grew into denial, and most of our relationships ended up broken or less fulfilling than they could have been. Did you ever deny that your parents had a problem or that a family member had a problem? Did you ever deny that you had a problem? And the truth is we can all answer yes to these questions to some extent. But for some of us, that denial turns into shame and guilt. Shame and guilt has an appropriate place in our life. I've been guilty of a lot of stuff. But to carry that guilt to make me feel less than is not God's idea. He convicts me of my guilt to deliver me and not to condemn me. And I need to be delivered from the things I'm guilty of and not condemned. Denial is the pink elephant sitting in the middle of the room. No one in the family talks about it or acknowledges it in any way. Listen to these comments. Do any of these comments resonate with you? They might sound familiar. Can't we stop talking about it? Talking only makes it worse. Billy, if we don't talk about it, it will just go away. Honey, let's pretend that it just really didn't happen. If I tell him that it hurts me when he says that, I'm afraid he'll leave me. He really doesn't drink that much. It really doesn't hurt when she does that. I'm fine. Paul drinks more than I do. It says that in here. Sorry. Well, Joan's been married 3 times and I've only been married twice. I eat because you make me so mad. If you didn't nag me all the time, I wouldn't. Look, honey, I have a tough job. I work hard. I need a few drinks to relax. It doesn't mean that I have a problem. Guys, that's denial. All of those. If you can identify with any one of them, that's denial. And as I said earlier, before we can take that first step of recovery, we must first face and admit our denial. Jeremiah 6:14, awesome verse. You can't heal a wound by saying it's not there. So the effects of denial. So we have our acrostic. The D in denial stands for disables our feelings. Hiding our feelings, living in denial, it freezes our emotions and binds us. Understanding and feeling our feelings is where we find freedom. In 2 Peter 2:19, they promised them freedom while they themselves are slaves of destructive habits. For a man is a slave of anything that has conquered him. For me, the basic test of freedom is not what I am free to do, it's what I'm free not to do. I am free not to make bad choices today. I loved it early in my recovery. Joyce Myers said a statement that just absolutely freed me from who I thought I was. Because I always identified myself as, I'm Vicky and I'm an alcoholic. And I no longer say that. I'm Vicky, and I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and a daughter of the King who has struggled with alcohol and drugs. Every time I said that, I attached my identity to that. Now, I do need to identify my areas of struggle. But I identified myself and I attached myself to what I did. And that's not who I am. And Joyce Meyer said, you will never be free from sin until you learn that you are free to sin. I am absolutely 100% free to walk out that door and sin. I just choose not to. So the next thing is E, energy lust. A major side effect of denial is anxiety. Anxiety causes us to waste precious energy dealing with past hurts and failures and the fear of the future. And as you go through this program, you will learn that it is only in the present that positive changes can occur. It only happens today. Every one of us have today. The person who has the most sobriety in the room today is the one who got up the earliest. Nobody has any more time than me today either. If you woke up earlier than me, that's all about today. I don't get yesterday back, and tomorrow hasn't happened. It's just about today. We let our fears and our worries paralyze us, but the only lasting way we can be free from them is by giving them to God. Psalm 146:7 says, he frees the prisoner. He lifts the burdens from those who bent down beneath their loads. The next one is N, negates growth. We are as sick as our secrets. We got some sick puppies here. I was one of them. We cannot grow in recovery until we're ready to step out of our denial and into the truth. The hard part is recognizing our secrets. I had so many secrets I had no idea I was keeping. I had no clue that I was hiding secrets. And some of them I knew. I mean, some of them were blatant. But some I really had to dig deep to uncover those. Well, God is waiting to take your hand and bring you out. And the Bible says they cried to the Lord in their troubles and he rescued them. Psalm 107:13. And then 14 says, he led them from darkness and shadow of death and snapped their chains. As you travel the road of recovery, you will come to understand that God will never, ever waste a hurt. And God will never waste your darkness. But he can't use it unless you step out of your denial and into his light and the light of truth. I isolates us from God. Adam and Eve are a great example of how secrets and denial separate us from true fellowship with God. After they sinned, their secrets separated them from God. And Genesis 3:7 tells us that Adam and Eve hid from God because they felt naked and ashamed. Now, of course, good old Adam tried to rationalize. He said to God, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree. We're always getting the rap. First, he tried to blame God. Did you hear that in there? Listen to that scripture. First, he tried to blame God. The woman you put here. So first, he was identifying with God. The woman you put here. Then he tried to blame it on Eve. She gave me some fruit. Remember, God's light shines on the truth, and our denial keeps us in the dark. And we are sick as our secrets. And that stuff's got to get out into the light. It can't stay there. Denial tells us, we move into A, alienates us from our relationships. Denial tells us we are getting away with it. Well, we think we're getting away with it, and we think no one knows, but they do. And even if we are so good, and let me tell you, I was good. I could hide it. I could snow anybody. And I remember telling somebody, I had 7 different counselors in my span before I had the 7th one, who was a Christian counselor. And I thought in my head, I've snowed every single one of these guys. Well, the truth was, I didn't snow him. He could only work with what I told him. He couldn't work with anything that I kept hidden. So I wasn't hiding anything. I just wasn't ready to be honest. I wasn't ready to face the truth. And even if you think you're snowing somebody, God knows what's going on. And he's the one you're going to answer to, not your spouse. So you're going to have to go before him. While denial may shield us from the hurt, it also keeps us from helping ourselves or the people we love most. We don't dare reveal our true selves to others for fear of what they will think or say if they knew the real us. I can remember thinking when I got into recovery and my counselor said, one day you're going to share your story. And I'm like, no way. Ain't happening. And now my problem is I've gone the other end. I wear on my forehead, I've been abused, I'm an alcoholic, I put it out there way too much. So I have to, you know, there's got to be a balance in how I behave. Well, we must protect ourselves and our secrets at any cost. So we isolate ourselves and thereby minimize the risk of exposure and possible rejection from others. So we isolate and we alienate, but what's the cost? At what price? Eventually, it's the cost of all of our relationships that we care about. We lose a lot of stuff before we finally... You don't have to lose a lot of stuff. I, by the grace of God, did not go through a divorce, lose a house, lose a car, any of that. But I was so lost in me. I was completely lost. And a lot of people have to... I was described to me as... All of us are on this dump truck heading down to the dump. And on your road of self-destruction, you can get off any time. Some of us have to take it all the way down to the dump, and some of us get off a little bit sooner. So what's the answer? What is the answer? Ephesians 4:25. This is a good one. Stop lying to each other. Did you hear that? Stop lying to each other. Tell the truth. For we are parts of each other, and when we lie to each other, we are hurting ourselves. Remember, it's always better to tell the ugly truth rather than a beautiful lie. The last one, L, lengthens pain, lengthens the pain. We have the false belief that denial protects us from our pain. In reality, denial allows our pain to fester and grow and turn into shame and guilt. Denial extends your hurt. It multiplies your problem. Don't ever let anybody tell you time heals all wounds. That's a lie. Time heals nothing. God heals, and it's a process. So when we think that just give it time, we need to be in a process if we're giving it time. Truth, like surgery, may hurt for a little while, but it cures. And God promises us in Jeremiah 30:17, I will give you back your health again and heal your wounds. I had surgery on my big toe 4 weeks ago. I got to tell you, it's the most painful surgery I've ever experienced. I put it off and denied it and denied it. I'm denying a hurt that exists. I did the same thing in my life with drugs and alcohol. It'll change. I'll get better. It won't be like this forever. Okay, one day. Okay, I'll stop tomorrow. Okay, I'll do this different. It's all denial. Denial still exists in my life today. It's just shorter. It's not as out there as it used to be. So tonight, I encourage you to step out of your denial. Walking out of your denial is not easy. Taking off that mask is hard, and everything about you shouts, don't do it, it's not safe. But it is safe, and it's safe here in Restoration and in Celebrate Recovery. Here you have people who care about you and who love you for who you are. People who will stand beside you as truth becomes a way of life. Jesus tells us, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's from John 8:32. Step out of your denial so that you can step into Jesus' unconditional love and grace and begin your healing journey of recovery. And begin it tonight. Start it tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, help us, help us take off that mask. Remove that mask of denial. Help us identify our pain and identify our secrets. But Lord, only you can give us the strength and the courage to step out and do that. And Lord, I pray that you will instill in everyone's heart here that this is a safe place. And it's a great place to start healing. And Father, take us down whatever journey you have, but I pray that you do not keep us the same. Lord, I pray you change each one of us, but just don't leave us the same. Father, bring us to a place where we can draw closer to you, just like Keith was singing about tonight in worship. Help us draw closer to you so that we can find the truth and your light and just relax in your love. Father, I'm so grateful that we're here tonight. I just pray blessings over each one here. In Jesus' name, amen.